This morning on Wake Up With Hope, the healthy foodie is back in the kitchen with a tofu feta recipe.
Neil Schofield will also take us on an artistic journey through a powerful love letter.
We also have music and a devotional thought from Pastor John Bradshaw.
Come along with us. Good morning and happy Wednesday to you, and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. You know, it's a great day to have a great day.
Yes, and as you begin this new day, we want to remind you that God's promises to be with you wherever you go are all on. And we pray that you will cherish this thought as you go throughout your day today.
Have you ever wondered what happened to a good friend you once had? Maybe it was a high school, college, or even middle school friend. Maybe even someone from elementary school. Well, guess what? Today is Locate an Old Friend Day.
And social media and the internet sometimes make that so easy to do. So go ahead, search, ask around, and see if you can locate that old friend.
And if you're wondering what to say to them, well, we have a few ideas. How about sharing this program with them and inviting them on the journey? Watch Wake Up With Hope. You know, we have lots to share this morning that is easily passed along. So let's begin by taking a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1793, George Washington placed the cornerstone of the United States Capitol building, destined to be the seat of the nation's legislative branch. The building's construction spanned nearly a century, marked by changes in architects, a devastating fire set by the British, and its use during the Civil War. Today, the Capitol building, renowned for its iconic cast iron dome and significant collection of American art, is a central part of the Capitol complex. This complex also includes 6 congressional office buildings and 3 Library of Congress buildings, all developed during the 19th and 20th century. Just as George Washington laid the cornerstone for the United States Capitol, setting the foundation for a building that would become central to American governance, Jesus Christ is our chief cornerstone, the foundation of our faith and our lives.
You know, just as the Capitol building faced destruction, but stood strong, when our lives are built on Jesus, the chief cornerstone, we can withstand the trials and storms that come our way. You know, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 to 22, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. You know, friends, no matter what we face, when we root ourselves and our faith in Christ, we can remain steadfast and secure. We can be strong, and our lives will ultimately be a testament to a life lived with Christ as the cornerstone.
Amen. Our friends from the Healthy Foodie are back in the kitchen this morning making tofu feta rice.
We'll be right back.
Have you ever received a love letter? Not just an email, but a handwritten letter? Why are there so many paintings featuring love letters? On today's episode of Masterstroke, we look into a famous painting from the Rijks Museum and provide the keys to reading the greatest love letter in history.
Have you ever received a love letter? I don't mean an email or a Facebook message. I mean a real one. A letter handwritten and posted or hand-delivered. In 1808, Willem Bartel van der Kooi won 2,000 guilders from the Dutch art school for his painting A Lady with a Footman Handing a Letter. Now, that's not a very romantic title, is it? If you visit the Rijksmuseum today, you'll see this painting with the title The Love Letter. In this painting, we see a messenger delivering the letter. The seal is on the back and it's yet to be opened. Anticipation and tension is in the air. Who's this letter from? What will it say? Her heart begins to flutter. All eyes are on this letter as it's handed over to the young lady. So how do you write a love letter? We're told to choose nice paper. Begin with something romantic. Tell the person what you love about them and write about the future you have together. I believe the greatest love letter is the Bible, and it's a pretty long letter. In fact, it's many letters written over thousands of years. Here we find God telling us how much He loves us, sharing the hopes of a wonderful future. He woos us to come to Him in a love response. I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. The Bible says God is love. The next time you're feeling a bit down, a bit discouraged, feeling like no one really cares, read the Bible. The Bible is God's love letter to you. A love letter you can read every day.
When we return, we will have inspiring music from Stephen Adetumbi. And later, John Bradshaw joins us to share a devotional thought.
Don't forget, if you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup.
We'll be right back.
Music has the power to be a healing balm to the soul. It is also a natural part of worship as we ponder and consider the amazing love of God. Join us now as we share inspiring music from Stephen Adetumbi with you. He sings By Grace.
Created in Christ Jesus, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them, we should walk in. Created in Christ Jesus. to good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. We should walk in them. For by any man should boast. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2 verses 8 10, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works, lest any man should boast.
If you're enjoying today's program, be sure to share it and spread a little love. You can also visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup. We have to stop for a quick break, but after the break, we're going to have today's devotional thought by Pastor John Bradshaw. Stay with us.
Welcome back, friends.
John Bradshaw from It Is Written is with us here today to share a devotional thought.
Hey, great to see you. I hope your day got off to a good start. However it started, it's going to get better. Because as the day goes on, God is going to bless you more and more and more, bring great people into your life, give you an opportunity to share a word with somebody. You're going to have a great day at work or at home. We're thinking positive today because God is positive. And I'm positive that with you and God, hand in hand, arm in arm, heart in heart, this day is going to be outstanding. This may be the most remarkable rescue story you have never heard. It was August, early August of 1991. A cruise ship built in 1952, for what it's worth, called the Oceanos, was plying the coast of South Africa. Weather was lousy. It looked as though the cruise was going to be delayed even further in getting started. So the captain said, though the wind is high, though the waves are rough, we're going out into the sea. Let's go. Let's start the tour, the cruise. It wasn't going to be a very long cruise. I think just a few days. Off they went. And before long, they got into all kinds of trouble. The boat was rolling this way and rolling that way. And then the lights went out. People knew, ooh, no electricity. This isn't good. What do we do now? Will we have to evacuate? Will we have to be rescued? What do we do? What does the captain say? Well, the captain had split. The captain and several other officers had got into a lifeboat and gone. He abandoned his ship. Now, later on, the captain said, well, I left so that I could summon help and lead the rescue from the shore or someplace. I don't know. It was a pretty dodgy excuse, if you ask me. But anyway, the captain did what captains are not really supposed to do, and he abandoned his ship. Well, who in the world was going to help the 571 passengers and crew on board to get to safety? Cometh the hour, cometh the man. There was a musician on board. He was one of the entertainers on the cruise ship. His name was Moss Hills. His wife's name was Tracy. Moss Hills still lives in England today. He's a South African, lived in South Africa at the time. They have since emigrated, Moss and Tracy, and they do anything in England. Well, anyway, 1991, Moss Hills says, somebody has to do something. It's going to have to be me. Many of the passengers were elderly, so they got as many as they could into lifeboats, lowered the lifeboats, freezing cold, rough seas. The lifeboats were just going to drift, but at least they'd be secure and wouldn't sink. This ship would eventually sink. Well, what then? This was kind of funny. He got on the radio, Mayday, Mayday, call Mayday, Mayday. This is the Oceanos. We need real help. Somebody came on and said, what is your rank? He said, I am not a rank. This is Moss speaking. I am not a rank. I am a guitarist. Who do you have with you there? My wife, she's the bass player. And we have a magician. That was it. So if you were the person who answers Mayday calls and some guy gets on there and goes, we're in trouble. I don't know much about boats. I play the guitar. My wife plays the guitar. And there's some guy who pulls rabbits out of hats. You might be wondering, right? Well, they would send helicopters. So Moss Hills had to get the remaining passengers and crew to position. So they'd go out on the deck, get a harness on them, lowered from a helicopter, and then be taken up. Now, remember, the boat is doing this. It was bad out there. People were in danger, but they cooperated. Even the elderly managed to get themselves out onto the deck and somehow get that harness on them. They're lifted to safety. Several helicopters were working. On one occasion, the harness that was lowered down from the helicopter got caught on the side of the ship. So as the ship rolled, that the helicopter is getting dragged around with it. You can't let it stay like that. Otherwise, that helicopter will crash into the boat. It'll be a ship. It'll be a terrible thing. Moss Hills, when the ship went this way, clambered onto the side of the ship, went down the side of the ship a little, freed the harness and climbed back up. His wife asked him what in the world he thought he was doing. He said, I got to save people. We can't allow further disaster to happen. And she figured he was probably right about that. Imagine all those people on that ship getting evacuated one by one, one by one, one by one. Incredibly, even though the captain and other officers had deserted, essentially, abandoned the ship. Here's the guitar player. With the help of some others, got everybody, 571 people off the Oceanos, got them to safety. 45 minutes after the last person got off, the ship slid into the ocean waters and sank. No one was lost because of that incredible rescue. You know, God is the God of rescues. Jesus is coming back to rescue us. Throughout the Bible, there are rescues. 2 Kings 6, the king of Syria comes up against the people of God. Oh, man, it's all over except the prophet prays and the Syrian armies are struck with blindness, a temporary blindness. The prophet Elisha guides them to Samaria. The leaders of Israel couldn't believe it. We got him. We got the Syrian army. We'd kill them all. The prophet said, no, don't do that. That wouldn't be the right thing. He rescued, God rescued his people. And then Elisha, if you like, rescued the Syrians, the enemies of God, from a real destruction. Rescues like that all the way through the Bible, where God does the incredible, the remarkable, the unexpected. We're here in a world where we're captive in this, in a sinful place. You can't get off this earth. There's no helicopter going to come and winch you out of here and take you to some other place. But one day there's going to be a great rescue. Have you read about it in the Bible? The Bible talks about the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible says, this is Paul who wrote to Titus, now writing to the church in Corinth, which is in modern-day Greece, and he says, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, that is the living, shall be saved. 1 Thessalonians 4, same writer. He's writing to a church in another part of Greece. He says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. A rescue is going to take place. That's the plan of salvation. We need rescuing. The Bible says the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Jesus, like the good shepherd looking for the lost sheep, went out searching for us, came out here into the wilderness of this world, lived as a man, gave himself his life so that we might live, so that we, through his death, might receive righteousness and peace and at-one-ment with God. A great rescue. Remember today you've been rescued. Oh, by the way, wouldn't it have been folly for one of those passengers to say, I'm not putting this harness on. I'll get myself off this ship my own way. Would not have worked out well. They were offered a lifeline. They took the lifeline. That's why they were all saved. Jesus is your lifeline. When he offers you everlasting life today, I encourage you to grab hold of it with both hands. Never relinquish it. Don't let it go. The greatest rescue of all time. Jesus died on the cross to rescue you and me from our sins. And for that, we thank God. Have a great day. Great to see you. And God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor John.
And friends, thank you for watching Wake Up with Hope and spending your morning with us. You know, we enjoyed our time together.
Don't forget to join us tomorrow. We'll be featuring an inspiring Reflections of Hope episode. And Neil Schofield will share an important life lesson as we look through the lessons and lens of a dog's life. And Dr. John Peckham will continue a series on knowing God. Don't miss it. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more about the Bible, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
Again, that's hope.study. We are sure our free Bible study guides will be a blessing to you. Well, friends, we can't leave without sharing our daily Bible promise. And today's promise comes from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21.
It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also."
Wow, what a powerful promise. And it demands an answer to the question, where is your heart? You know, where are you placing your time and effort? Is it in this world where things will eventually rot and ruin? Or are you focusing on the heavenly kingdom where nothing will ever be destroyed? Well, friends, place your greatest thoughts and efforts towards the heavenly kingdom. It's the only thing that will last through eternity. And that's a promise.
Amen. We pray you have begun this day with a grateful heart because of Jesus' love and hope for you. May the Lord bless you abundantly. Have a great Wednesday.
Let's pray together. Father in heaven today, Lord, we truly take this promise to heart and make it our prayer to be able to reprioritize. Give us wisdom and insight to learn how to best do that. Some of us, Lord, may need to put things aside. They're temporal and focus and refocus on things that are eternal. So we thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts today. Thank you for the hope that we have in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.